Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, everybody, all you language facilitators out there, you parents and caregivers, you are the best. Welcome back to another episode here on the Waves of Communication YouTube channel and the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast and the Waves of Communication page on Facebook. Welcome, everybody, to another episode today. I have a really exciting topic that I'm going to be talking to you about, and I'm working with my new platforms, so let's dig into today's topic. But really quick, I want to tell you who I am. My name is Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and language facilitation coach and consultant. It is my mission to equip and empower parents and caregivers all around the world to facilitate spoken language naturally through the activities that you do every day. And so while people are joining me live and those of you on the replay, I want to welcome you to today's topic, which is this one. We're going to be talking about stimming. Is this stimming a symptom or a tool? And we're going to be talking today on this discussion about these four things. We're going to be talking about how to view and analyze stim and repetitive behaviors. We're going to be talking about three reasons that I use stim activities as a tool for all late talkers. And we're going to be talking about five tips to introduce stim activities as a tool. And we're going to be talking about three video examples of natural spoken language facilitation using stim activities. So before we get into all this, I want to remind you that this is an interactive experience. I want to try to make these as interactive as possible. So if you have questions about this topic, stimming, or any other topic, you can post it in the comments of this video. And after I'm done talking about the topic, I will get to your questions. So let's get into the first thing that we're going to be talking about here, which is, how do you view stimming behaviors? Now, I know how I view them, but I know that there are a lot of people who view these stimming behaviors as a symptom of something that's wrong because they see it as the child's discomfort or stress, like it's causing them, or maybe it's causing you, discomfort or stress. But the reality is, when you see this behavior, and when we talk about stim behaviors, let me pull this back. When we talk about stim behaviors, that's anything repetitive. It's hand flapping, it's lining up toys, it's tossing, it's chewing, it's flapping, it's escaping. These are the things that your child seems to do obsessively, like they always go for that thing. And these are what we're calling stim behaviors. Now, a lot of parents are concerned because it's these stim behaviors that end up causing your late talking child, who is just developmentally delayed, spoken language delayed, to be using these stim behaviors, I believe, as tools. But they're identified as symptoms by people who are viewing them through that angle. So that's why I'm asking you with this slide here, how do you view stimming behaviors? So when we talk about viewing them as a symptom, you view them as a sign of something wrong. You view them as causing discomfort or stress, meaning we want these things to stop because they're discomfort. They're embarrassing. They're uncomfortable. We need need them to stop. And you believe when you see them as a symptom that they are distracting the child from learning. And that's why you might be even working with programs, ABA programs, to limit or stop these STEM behaviors. Schedule them with your child. Like, they can only have them after they have a certain thing, or they only get them on certain times. However, look at the right side of this slide. When you look at these stimming behaviors as a tool, where you view it as a sign of problem solving and processing. My child is using something for self-regulation. You see when the child does these things that they feel regulated or safe or calm. You see that they need unlimited access for success to have this STEM. They've got to have it ready for them or they cannot do their job. And it helps them solve and prevent problems. And I put these two little graphics here to help you think about, remember, from a nonverbal child's perspective, they see things and they think of things in images. And when they think of these STEM behaviors, do you think that they are seeing them as a sign of something wrong, like this little guy here on the left? Oh no, I need to stop this thing. I should stop it. Or do you see them like this firefighter on the right? Like, okay, all I got to do is have my, and I chose this guy with the fire extinguisher because he's using this tool, this extinguisher, to put out the flames, to put out the fire, to put out the disturbance, right? He's using this thing as a tool. And so this is how I see STEM behaviors, because I believe that all behaviors are communication. And with natural spoken language facilitation, we use the behaviors that the child is giving us. They're offering this communication, and our job as facilitators is to facilitate their job of shifting these communication behaviors, nonverbal communication behaviors, into functional spoken language that everybody can understand. And so that's why we're going to move forward with this presentation here. Oh, no, let me do. There we go. So how we're going to move forward here is that as you look at these things as a tool, we're going to look at the reasons that it is a good idea to introduce STEM tools, because that's what I do as a natural spoken language facilitator. So here's what we're going to do. There are three reasons that you should not stop, you should not limit, you should encourage and utilize. In fact, I'm going to show you how in this video, just like I talked about at the beginning. For those of you just joining, we're going to talk about, I'm showing you video, so stay tuned. I've got video of me doing this, introducing STEM tools as a language facilitation tool. So STEM activities. So what you need to do here is change your perspective and use stimming to activate neuroplasticity. That's how I use STEM tools. And the number one way that I use, the reason that I use it, is to connect and earn trust in the language facilitation zone, to establish cooperative regulation where everyone feels relaxed, because I know that neuroplasticity does not activate unless everyone feels relaxed. If one or the other of us, either the child or the facilitator, is not relaxed, if they're not regulated, if they're anxious, if they're worried, if they're anticipating, if they've got unrealistic expectations, or any expectations actually, that they're not in the zone experiencing this thing together, then you're not going to see results. You're going to judge those STEM behaviors instead of use them as a tool. So what I do, because I know that when I connect with a late talking child, who does not have language. The video I'm going to show you is with a child who does not have functional spoken language. And I'm going to show you how I am using, how I chose to use the STEM behaviors that the child does have to move them toward considering, trying, investigating, using more evolved ways to communicate. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to help this child understand your intention to help them and not control them. That's the B here under trust and earn, connect and earn trust. The second thing you're going to do with these STEM tools, the reason that you want to introduce and use them is because they develop listening, focus, and joint attention. That's what the neuroplasticity research shows us. While these kids are stimulating, they're regulating. And when they're regulated, it's easier for you to introduce new ideas. And then the third thing here is to expand these STEM activities. This is why I involve them, because I know kids love them and I want to expand them into more evolved pretend play. Because when the late talker actually starts initiating requests for new, fun, or interesting ways to play with their STEM activities, then they're going to keep coming back and wanting you to do this over and over and over again. And that gives you opportunity, more opportunity to facilitate more advanced spoken language. Because with the natural language facilitation process, we facilitate 1% improvement every day. And the idea here is to help the child shift. The whole process of spoken language facilitation is to help the child shift all of their communication behavior, even if it's chewing, even if it's jumping, even if it's flapping, into spoken language. Because remember, all of that behavior is a form of communication and there are messages behind it. All right, so let's move forward with this presentation so I can show you here. So remember, we talked about these three reasons to introduce STEM tools, and now here's my tips. So first, we're going to watch for patterns of behavior to identify good STEM experiences to offer as tools. Good meaning things the child will accept, things the child that will work, things that are functional for them. Number two tip, you're going to limit the choices. Only have one or two options. I know that lots of parents know that their kids like fidget poppers or spinners or whatever the app is you have on your phone or the snackies that they like, whatever, right? That idea that you know the kind of thing your child likes and you think they might get bored with or that thing might break. So you want to have a lot of options. That's not helpful in this process because remember, when you're going to use the STEM behavior as a tool, it's about evolving the communication out of STEM behavior into functional spoken language. We don't want to feed in to the STEM behavior to let the child do the STEM behavior by themselves. We're using the STEM behavior as a way to connect. Because remember, I told you that we were connecting. We're using this process to connect with the child. If you just give them lots of things to stim with by themselves in the corner, that's what's going to happen. So let's get back to this presentation where you want to limit the choices. That's number two. Number three tip is to find an experience that's going to allow complete freedom to explore safely on the late talker's terms. So that means if it's going to break, then don't get it. If you get indestructible things, get things that you know you've got a lot of if your child has water, or find boundaries around it. Like I said, they're on their terms, they need to find things that they can do. And then they're in control. That's the most important thing, number three. Number four is to demonstrate how you would use the tool for security, focus, and regulation. because they need to see a demonstration. They don't know how to use it as a tool. They just know how to use it as a stim, right? Because remember, you're introducing the stim activity as a functional tool to elevate neuroplasticity and develop new skills, not keep them in their comfort zone stimming by themselves, okay? This is the idea of using it because they don't know how to evolve this thing. Otherwise, they would be. That's why you're the facilitator. So you need to keep offering the tool and talk about its benefits. That's the whole point here, is to just keep offering it over and over and over again so that you can see how well the child is adapting, using it, integrating it independently, because this is not a guided job. You're facilitating independent use of this STEM tool, ultimately, through your connected activity and then into independence. So what I've got here now to show all of you is three videos that I took them in Dubai. When I was over there visiting with Aaron and his family, I lived with them and I did not know this child. I never met him in person. He's 5 years old. He does not have spoken language, functional spoken language, and he connects through STEM. This is how he uses a lot of it. In fact, let's talk about what's going on here. I'll just show you while we talk. He chooses shirt. He tosses toys. He has his hands in his pants. He licks surfaces. He's digging in the dirt and tasting things. So what I want to show all of you, thanks for bearing with my glitches here, is that in that first little section of this video, we're still in the connection video, where you heard me, I wasn't directing, I wasn't forcing, I was just offering something to listen to, sort of parallel stim. I was very stimmy in my speech. I was doing repetitive talking. I was making blah, 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 blah. I was, you know, touching and moving and doing a lot of interaction there that would activate those same kinds of areas of the brain that Aaron would interact through these behaviors. And the reason I paused this here too is because take a look at his shirt. It's completely soaked and dirty up there on the top. Number one, because he's been chewing on it. Number two, because he was literally digging in the dirt and tasting dirt and wiping that on his shirt. Licking surfaces with his hands in his pants. That's part of what's going on here while he's there. And I gave him that book to hold. So you can see that there is lots and lots of stimulation going on, because remember, what we're doing here is activating neuroplasticity, and I want to stimulate and activate that area. Let's watch a little bit more.
He just won't stop being near me. He wants to always be touching me a little bit. Mama likes when you spend time.
What's so interesting about this is that his mom was mentioning that she loves it when he connects with her, and she's not feeling as much of this connection as I was able to get. This is literally day one of my arriving there in Dubai, and his mom is already jealous that because I'm doing interactive STEM stuff, I'm getting this. He's coming to me to connect with me. He's the one putting his head on my feet. Watch.
You should cry when you are not there.
Even on my feet. If you're touching my feet, you're happy. You just like to have some connection with me, even if it's not me talking. Sometimes you just want me to connect with no talking, just so you can feel my energy with no pressure to listen. But Marcy never stops talking. Always, always talking. Even about how you feel. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. All right, here comes Ticklefinger. Here comes Ticklefinger. No more Ticklefinger. I'm done with tickling. I want to read.
We're building, thinking, building, bouncing. La 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 na 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 na.
Good morning, Aaron. Aaron is.
So You could see in that last clip, those few clips in that last one that I did, how this child evolved just in connection. This is over like a day or two of when I reached in. At first, I had to really reach in and stim, blah, 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 you know, and it wasn't like real talking. It wasn't real explanation or anything. And then by the end of that connection, within days, you guys, this was happening just within days. And I did not know this child. This is going to be so much easier for those of you who know this child, right? And you see how in this video, this little guy is looking. Let me put this back up here. I'm going to draw it back just a teeny bit. So you can see that he's looking. Look at him. Look at me. And like, what is she? Now, if nothing else, he's curious and interested and listening. I am talking about something that's totally related to what he's doing, and it's related to his stim. I'm actually verbalizing, vocalizing, using language. Look at me while I'm bouncing in the chair. This is what I was doing behind the camera, bouncing and moving with him. So I didn't touch him. We moved from him having to physically touch me while I did that stimulation to him sitting in the chair across the room and me talking about the situation. And you could even hear me say in there, we're building, we're thinking, we're learning, we're growing. Like, I'm using the rhythm, I'm using those patterns, I'm using just stimmy kind of talking. You know, Kelly here says that her son verbally stims. A lot of what you hear me saying and demonstrating sounds a lot like what somebody would do verbally stimming. La 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 la. And I don't stop, right? I'm relentless with it. I never stop giving and giving and talking and talking and talking. And that's because I'm showing these kids, right, that spoken language is valuable and it's fun and it's easier to implement than you think. All you got to do, and it can evolve out of what you already know. Because we don't want perfection here. I just want 1% improvement. And right there in that little clip, you watched at least 1% improvement in attention, focus, and listening. Just because I stimmed with him. I did stim activities with him. Instead of stopping your child's unusual play, let's dig in and learn why they find it fun and facilitate the language that they need to talk about it. Now watch this level here. We're moving up into expanded interest and more evolved play, right? So Aaron, now, this is probably a week in after we're done, and we are in a routine where every day when Aaron comes home from school, he finds me, he climbs in the bed, he gets in there, and he is ready to listen to me talk and tell him more and engage more. And you'll see how now, as opposed to me having to go into his world, he is seeking and initiating this connected play with me. He's coming to me. This is within 1 week, everybody. He's curious about my ideas. He has great eye contact. Look at him looking at me and the mirror and himself, because we're looking in the phone. And look how tolerant of change he is. Now you can see how I use STEM behaviors, how I help a child move from what seems like random things that are, you know, these repetitive obsessions, the thing your child takes and moves away. So here's another couple comments. She says, my little one makes eye contact and shows interest off and on, right? So when you see, let me put this one back up. When you see someone, anyone, who is off and on in their interest, you have to decide, why is it off? What is it that turned them off? Because it's your responsibility as a facilitator to be attractive and interesting and match with what the late talker likes. Your intuitive connection with them, your understanding of who they are. It took me a minute to figure out who Aaron is, but not more than a minute, everybody. Not more than a minute. As soon as I found out what he was interested in, singing, snacking, chewing, you know, as soon as I found, because he showed me with his communication behavior immediately what he enjoyed through the behaviors, just like I showed you. And so this is what you see, that eye contact is not the only judge. When you saw me introducing that dinosaur, I didn't get any eye contact through the process of, is this a good idea for me? Do I want to? Is it? I mean, you know, curiosity is one thing, but actually accepting that new idea into yourself and into your comfort zone, right? This is what will, you know, potentially make or break your child's connection. Because here's the thing about STIM behaviors. If you don't see them as a tool, if you see them and judge them as a symptom and you try to shut them down without any kind of replacement, because yeah, I didn't want this kid eating dirt and chewing on a shirt. I promise you, that's not what I wanted. But the idea was to get him to trust me enough that when I offered an alternative that met the same need, see, this is key with STEM behavior. You have to be so intuitively connected that you're meeting the same need as that stimulation. Otherwise, it won't be accepted. Think about your own perspective with STEM behavior. We all have STEM behaviors. We have the thing we like. We have our afternoon cup of tea, caffeine, stimulant. It stims our brain. It does some. Why do we need to have that cup of caffeine in the morning? Why do we need to have it at midday? Why did you have to give it up because you couldn't go to sleep? What is going on with the input that's going on in your brain? Because neuroplasticity is happening. Your child is already learning every moment of every day. And now you can see, when you engage with the way they're learning, if they're learning through stimulation, and it's physical stimulation or light stimulation or sound or rhythm or movement or whatever, because that's what they are capable of processing now. The way you bridge that over into spoken language is by matching them with the STIM behavior they are using now and use it as a tool by matching your spoken language and keep on talking and keep giving more than this lay talker even knows they need. Because remember, they don't know how to use spoken language or they would be using it. It's your job to facilitate that transition in the natural way is by offering them something that they can pick up, right? So something that they can do. So if we see your son always stims verbally and is verbally babbling, Aaron is also, he's saying a lot of things that are verbally babbling and stuff. If you try to shut that down, here is the problem, right? If you're complaining, I'm not sure if you're excited about this verbal babbling or not or whatever, why you're showing me, because great. Okay, so now what you should do if your son is verbally babbling, then you gotta get, look at that beginning of the video that I did. I was babbling. I connected and evolved that outside of, okay? So that's the thing. She says he stims in his free times, but when he engages in activity, doesn't stim, right? So what's the problem? There is no problem. We all stim in our free time. We all stim in our free time. We all stim in our free time. It's how we fill our time. It's how we regulate. It's how we calm. It's how we get, you know, feeling good about ourselves. So STIM behaviors are not something to be worried about. That's the whole point about all this. And I just want to remind all of you that this is not a problem if you use it as a tool. But if you see it as a problem, then it's going to be a problem for you. If you think and you're focused on trying to get a child to stop something that they naturally want and need, like it's like taking the fire extinguisher away from the firefighter. How is he going to do his job? Your late talker's job is to evolve from their nonverbal communication into spoken language, right? Okay, so Bex Mama says, hello, hello, Bex Mama. And you say, your son hums now. Once he starts to hum, I say, let's count or sing. Now that's redirecting, but I mean, it's all about why. Why are you counting or singing? My advice, instead of going to those standard speech output, replace one speech output humming with another speech output, sing this song for me, is maybe you could start to, just like this other mom says, he stims in his free time, but he doesn't stim when he's engaged in an activity, right? He's engaged in a real activity that is functional for him to learn and improve in his life, right? Then he doesn't need to be walking around the house humming. So perhaps the things that you're offering in your itinerary, if you don't have the workbook, you can send out to every chance you get. You can send out a message that you're open to teaching instead of, here, take this thing and go do it. Or do this thing with me because I like to hear the output, right? It's not about this language facilitation, you know. You need to get over it if you're getting excited only when your child talks, right? The video that I showed you today is super encouraging, right? For a family of a child who's not using any spoken language. And if your child is somewhere in the evolution, if they're starting to use gestures, if they're pulling you around, if they're saying single words, if they're in echolalia or gestalt language, you know, phrases they're using and all these kinds of things that they're trying hard to evolve. Because if you're working with me, you should be seeing 1% improvement every day. But that doesn't mean 1% more words said. Okay. Spoken language evolution is the process of understanding the messages that you want to say, putting the idea clearly into a thought, learning and understanding the vocabulary that you need, and saying those words verbally in a way, clear speech that other people can understand. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't switch from tossing toys and rolling on the floor to, oh, let's chat about what's going on. But those messages, what's going on, are communicated from day one. And these stim behaviors are your child's physical body's energy, language processing system, brain's way of just trying to clean up the mess of their learning from their past, organize and re-regulate their learning path moving forward and get organized into a way that they can say, oh, there's words for this instead of behaviors. And now I can use it. Now I can use it. So Beck's mama, if Beck is running around and humming, then it's time to get out the cookie dough and bake together, or the dance music video and have a dance party, or dress up, or go for a walk, or clean the toilet. I mean, you got to do something functional with that child to show them where to put their energy. And counting the same old stuff, especially if they've already done that business, is like, oh, stop enjoying my own free time to perform tricks for you? No thanks. You're going to start to see some real resistance to that, Bex Mama. So just go with activity that's fun. And if your child starts doing a something, take it as a message that they need you to do something functional, not stimmy, but evolve the stimulation. The idea is not join them in their stim and stim, 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 stim. You're the facilitator of evolution. Help your child take that stim behavior somewhere to spoken language, on the direction of spoken language, not on the direction of more frustration, like, oh, now because we're dancing, now you're going to make me do the dance steps to the hokey pokey. You know, you're not allowing them to involve on their own, okay? And Beck's mama says, okay, sounds good. So that's the idea, right, everybody? Now you see that it's not hard to fall into a mindset where you start judging these things and wanting to change them, right? Yeah, I did want this chewing shirt to stop, right? Maybe Beck's mama does want that walking around humming to stop because it's not functional. It's not helpful towards the child's evolution. But you know something that is, something you can teach them, something you can show them, something they can learn that's based on their interests that they're showing you through their humming, right? How to evolve it into something that's functional that they can take out in the world, okay? Now, tell your friends, hit it now. Share this video, hit it now. Share any video. Share a short that you liked. Share that autism, virtual autism video that you liked. I just want to get to 5,000 subscribers before I go to India. Actually, before the weekend, what I really want to do. That's my goal. Because my goal is to hit 5,000 subscribers before my online workshop this Sunday, March 26th. I hope you all can join me so that you can learn this process so that you're not stuck. You can figure out what to do, not just with STEM behaviors, but with every behavior that your lay talker uses as communication, which is all of them, and learn how to do it. There's 4 hours of learning, video examples, just like I showed you today. You're going to see hours of it, of me working. And then there's a 56-page guide included. And the workshop people, if you are either coming to my online workshop or my in-person workshop, once you finish the workshop experience, I believe you are so well equipped and empowered that within 1 hour of time with me, you will be so on your path that you can take off your journey and do whatever. You can work with the workbook and you're off to the races. That's all you need. And the whole combination of all of that is less than any other service that I provide. Sign up now. Link is in the description for the online workshop. And Rabat Morocco, the location and date has been set. Actually happened within a half an hour before I started this video. So now, you know, you can join me in person in April in India and in Morocco, beginning of month in India, the end of the month in Morocco. The registration's open. Go to the website to look for those things because that's it. I'm bringing this out. I'm equipping and empowering parents all over the world. So thank you for sharing. Don't forget, subscribe to the video. Like this video today. Subscribe to the channel. Share, please, so that we can get to, I want to be to 50,000 subscribers eventually, but for a channel like mine to hit 5,000 subscribers with these really long videos and all of you giving me your attention, I just have the ultimate in gratitude for you. And I cannot wait to come out to India. These workshops are filling up. I've got people registering all the time. There are still some spots remaining in all of the workshops that I have going on. And if none of these workshops works out for you, stay tuned and register for my newsletter. When you register for my newsletter, let me show you really quick. You get a free 7-page get started guide. And then every single week you will have information coming right to your inbox about when the next workshop opportunities are. And if you miss the live video on Q&A, you can come back and see it. Make sure you watch these videos right away and join the membership because they all pop over to member level after 60 days. So, thank you so much, everybody, for watching me today and joining me. He's coming to the UK. potentially in the future. I always am looking for sponsors. If you have a group of parents anywhere, that's the point about these workshops. I am willing to travel as long as you have a group of people there who are willing to support a workshop. So we need to have a place to meet. We need to have a group of people. I need to have a place to stay. And if you can coordinate that, I will come and bring this experience. It is $47 for this workshop experience, both in person and online. $47 US. That's less than going out to dinner. You can learn exactly what you need. And for another $74 online and $60 in person, like I said, it's all converted into the other monetaries. I'm meeting you where you are with prices where you are. Because I want to meet you in person and I want you to share the information about natural spoken language facilitation. I feel like that we're having a lot of, this is the time. We're moving into spring and in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, fall in the Southern Hemisphere, Aries season, moving into the astrological new year, and it is time for change. We don't need to support these systems that are breaking down anymore. You can learn how to help your child yourself. Don't feed into fear or worry or judgment that anything's wrong with your child. It doesn't matter why they are late talking now. You, as the parent or caregiver, is in the best position to facilitate that spoken language shift. And that's what we do here at the Waves of Communication channel. I'll see y'all in the next one, and bye for now.
With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation journey to speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.